Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're exploring a new UBS initiative informed by developments in the health and well-being space, launching recently with the inaugural Global Wealth Management Health and Performance Conference. The bank has been exploring ways for its employees to improve their lives as well as their professional performance by adopting well-being strategies developed in concert with leading experts in the field and often pioneered by the likes of elite athletes. On today's programme, we'll hear from the conference floor. We'll learn more about the theory, methodology and benefits from practitioners in disciplines from medicine to psychology, and hear from the team in UBS about why this initiative is so important. We start with Jörg Zeltner, president of UBS Wealth Management, who sets the scene in Zurich.
We could look at the world, be frightened, there's lots of challenges. When I open up the newspapers or the blogs, for that matter, today, you could be discouraged, you could see all of these challenges, you could actually look at it as this being another sort of perfect storm. We could list from the macro environment, the environment for us as a bank, the new regulation coming in, we could look at litigation problems, cross-border matters. This is our biggest opportunity, actually. I never felt more excited about our relative positioning, our strength we have as a company, all of our toolkits available. And that's the way I want to look at it.
Simone Thompson is Chief of Staff to the Global Head of Wealth Management. Amongst her responsibilities is oversight of strategic components in terms of making the organisation more human-friendly. We asked Simone, why does human performance matter and why now for UBS?
I don't believe that you can have sustainable, profitable growth, which is what we say we need to achieve, obviously for ourselves and for our clients, if you don't have sustainable employee health and hence performance. So it's kind of a bit of a sine qua non. I think we've run a system over the past 150 years in the financial industry that is just not tenable to maintain and to continue over the next 150 years. And I think that if you were to ask why now, you've got the little scenario of pre and post 2008. Pre-2008, I think we lived in a world where if you want money, did come to us. I mean, we were in a very, very lucky scenario where the economic conditions as well as the level of wealth in the world was accumulating. Post 2008, what we destroyed, we managed to do that off the back of our own issues. We destroyed a lot of that. And with that destruction, as well as the economic changes that are taking place in the world today, we can no longer afford to run a system that we did off legacy. We need to rethink banking, the whole financial industry, and we need to think through how we will be making money in the future. And with the fact that the margins are decreasing, with the fact that it's much more difficult to bring in the revenue, and with the fact that we will have to therefore reduce capacity, human capacity in our system, we need to make sure that whatever is in that system runs to the top of its performance.
Among the many specialists and experts who've shaped the UBS initiative and are at the cutting edge in this space is Dr. Aki Hintzer. Hintzer is an orthopaedic and trauma surgeon who for the last 15 years has specialised in preventive care of sports injuries and coaching and caring for leading sportsmen in a holistic way, covering everything from biomechanics, the mental side, to sleep, recovery and so on. We'll hear from him in more detail later, but first, he told the conference about how his work can make individuals perform better and live better lives.
What is the difference if I ask you, do you want to be healthy? Or do you really want to be healthy? It's the same when I ask a Formula One driver, do you dream to win this race? Or when you go to car, guy, do you know that you will win this race? It's the same. Dreaming and knowing, just talking and implementing.
Aki Hintzer. Next, we hear from more of the speakers at the conference who took some time out to explain the background to their involvement, their work and practice, and how health and well-being are now narratives that everyone, whether company or individual, should be paying the most close attention to. Here's Dr. Martin Seligman, a professor of psychology and director of the Positive Psychology Centre at the University of Pennsylvania. How does modern psychology offer game-changing perspectives on well-being?
Psychology is undergone a sea change in my lifetime. So So when I first became a psychologist almost 50 years ago, it was all about suffering and misery, mental illness and the like. And about 20 years ago, I became president of the American Psychological Association. And my theme was that psychology that was just about alleviating misery was half-baked, that psychology should also be about well-being, the good life, positive emotion, engagement, and meaning in life. To my surprise, over the last 20 years, that's probably become the most popular growth area within psychology.
Dr. Daniel Goleman is author of Emotional Intelligence. He's written extensively on these themes and the role they play in effective leadership, especially in high-performance areas. How does his work and expertise explain and offer insights for a business into its employees and their behaviours?
Studies that are done internally by companies to establish, well, what are the competencies that we find in our stars, show that they mostly, particularly at high levels for leadership positions, have to do with emotional intelligence. By that I mean how we handle ourselves, how we handle our relationships. So the core of effective leadership and of high performance has to do with abilities like self-awareness, managing yourself in terms of, say, working toward goals, managing your distressing emotions so you can keep your focus, empathizing and getting along with other people. All of those skills help us be at our best. And the reason is that the brain is designed so that when we're in a relaxed alert state, we can use whatever cognitive abilities, whatever skill set we have to the max. When you're upset, it diminishes your performance. So there's a direct relationship between your ability to master your own emotional, particularly negative emotions, and also to empathize and get along with other people and performance.
We already heard from Dr. Aki Hintzer. Next, Aki talks more about his work with elite athletes, especially in Formula One and other intense high-pressure realms. Are there lessons from these superhumans that can apply to lay people in a business, for example? More than you might imagine, he explains.
I have worked since 1998 in Formula One, and my team now, we are heavily involved in F1 world in terms of building and coaching drivers and also other staff to human high performance. This world is very similar, Formula One world, I mean. It is very similar to world what we are approaching in the business world. A lot of traveling, internal, external pressures. If you don't make results, you are out. Then you have a limited time. If you are under the pressures, you have very limited time to spend with your family. Very often you don't have social life at all. And this kind of factors we see both in top world of F racing, so Formula One, and with top executives, for example, UBS.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll hear more from our experts about the specific methodologies and techniques that they employ and that individuals and corporate bodies alike can employ to better set their work-life balance. In terms of methodology, is it purely about how changes to lifestyle can increase performance and productivity? We asked Aki Hintzer.
Well-being, human well-being and health, they are the main goals we have in our program. And productivity and high performance is a byproduct. But eventually, it always comes along. But sometimes people, they come to see us in our clinics and they say, oh, we want to perform higher. And when we say, oh, yes, then you have to have a better balance in your life 24/7. And sometimes it's very difficult for people because they want to have a shortcut to high performance. But it comes only through better life and changes in 24/7 aspect. Not only if we take athlete, if he thinks that I will train harder, it not necessarily helps. It can even make things worse. But if he thinks that, okay, I will eat better, I will sleep better, I take better care of my body, my musculoskeletal system, and then I train better, then absolutely fact, he will do that.
We asked Dr. Martin Seligman too to explain some of the methodology. Is it about unlocking intrinsic abilities, or is it rather more complex than that?
It's less complex, but it's not unlocking hidden abilities. So there turns out there are quite simple exercises that raise well-being. Let me give you the method background in here. So I come out of an arena in which we test drugs and psychotherapy to see if they work. So we ask the question, if you compare a drug or a psychotherapy to a randomly assigned control group, do people get less depressed? So we began to ask about 15 years ago, if you have people do gratitude visits or every night before they go to sleep, write down things that went well today, does their overall life satisfaction go up and does their depression go down? So it basically turns out there are about 10 fairly simple interventions, which if you do them, meaning in life goes up, positive emotion goes up, engagement at work goes up. So it was a matter of discovering exercises that reliably work better than placebos to raise happiness.
As we've already mentioned, Daniel Goleman is the key thinker on emotional intelligence. So, two, emotions. How do they shape our interactions, especially in business? Is it different from elsewhere? No, explains Daniel, it's about the reaction to them.
If you're in a sales situation, you're managing clients or leading a team, the fact is that if you're creating toxic relationships, you're going to do terribly. But if you're creating nourishing relationships, if you have high rapport, you're going to do very well. So the missing or active ingredient, but not recognized ingredient, is the emotional component.
Is there still resistance in certain quarters? This kind of thinking is very pervasive in business now, explains Dr. Daniel Goleman.
Well, at first, you know, when I started talking to businesses about this, people said, you can't use the word emotion in business because it was thought to be irrelevant. But now I think it's pretty much pervasive in business community. I wrote an article called What Makes a Leader for the Harvard Business Review. And then since then, about six more articles that are in a book called What Makes a Leader. And that has become their most requested reprint in the history of the magazine. So it seems there's quite high receptivity in the business world. And something new has happened. I'm getting requests from companies, for example, to help them with well-being, which is what UBS is doing here, because people are having expected to be more productive with less support, less people, less time. People are feeling more and more pressured than ever. And it diminishes their both cognitive ability and their physical health. And more companies are realizing, well, this is not sustainable in the long term. To be a sustainable company, a company where people are at their best, we have to help individuals flourish. And the UBS program is a really good example of that.
Are companies waking up to this now? Given that, as we've been hearing, from top to bottom, this approach can make so much difference. Well, yes, but there is still resistance, warns Aki Hintze.
How I see it, that the human being is so stubborn sometimes, and that it's, for us it's difficult to learn, so that we have to go to one extreme to understand that this is not good. And people in business world working 16-18 hours a day from week to week. And then if someone takes holiday, he's almost like a loser. This kind of tough guy syndrome, I think that this has lived now. The existence of this kind of life is in the end. And now corporate world, business world, they start to think that, oh, there's a human aspect as well. And employee full of energy and positive mindsetting, good physical and mental health is much more productive than the machine which we will kill in the end.
So why is it a hard sell to get businesses to focus on these ideas around essentially positive things? Do people still need convincing? After all, it seems intuitive to go along with much of this. Martin Seligman.
If you have a narrow definition of the bottom line and what you're trying to do is increase shareholder equity and profit, I think you need, if that's your bottom line, I think you need to be convinced that raising the well-being of employees will actually raise the bottom line. And I think that's something that people are not convinced about. probably true, but no company that I know of has yet decided that what they're going to do, as the U.S. Army did, is to measure the well-being of their employees, do interventions that increase it over time, and ask, does that increase productivity? So I think the great big company doing that is still missing. People do it piecemeal all over corporations, but just piecemeal.
We've heard from all sorts of inspirational individuals and many extraordinary insights. Some final thoughts now from our experts. From Daniel Goleman, any ideas for smaller players that maybe can't do a comprehensive root and branch review of strategy? Some simpler things perhaps to bear in mind that can shape the experience of them and their employees.
Well, you can do a kind of informal subjective inventory of what's the emotional milieu here. Is it toxic? Are people yelling at each other? Are people angry? Are they upset? Are they anxious? Or are they feeling great about what they're doing? Are they feeling engaged? Do they really connect with each other and with customers? You can tell that immediately. And that's very important in terms of a gauge of what is our collective well-being as an organization, as well as what's our effectiveness.
Is it all a question, then, of looking to the likes of Formula One, to high-pressure industries to find inspiration? What are the elite disciplines you should look to? As long as they're doing good work, it doesn't matter where you get your inspiration from, explained Simone Thompson.
I believe that the best thing you can do is look across the breadth of industries and figure out where anybody does anything better, and whether that be in the Formula One, where they have massive amounts of pressure and stress. I think there's fundamental things that we can learn from the way these guys pick up their system and continue, I mean, in a highly stressful environment, or whether you look at the U.S. Army. Again, I mean, these are individuals that push their system to the nth degree. We're nowhere close to that. But if we can take any level of those findings, where we see individuals who are in highly extreme conditions, and take any of that knowledge or experience or expertise out of that and bring it backwards into the, if you want, the more average corporate environment, I think, you know, and that's where you kind of look, you need to look, right? You need to look at extremes and then to work backwards out of those, because they have the tendency of having to have gone out and gotten the best in order to get to where they are today.
And that's Simone Thompson bringing us to the end of this 101st edition of The Bulletin with UBS. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.